Hello, my name is Thurbleton, and you're listening to the Lincoln Cast, the John Baum Community's Guild Wars 2 podcast for the week of June 28th, 2013. This is episode 49. Holy crap, guys, we have one more episode. We're hitting 5-0 after that.
Do you think we should do something special for 50? I don't think so. Whatever, man.
I'm sure we should do something, but it's just going to be another episode.
Yeah.
Episode is, first off, Edmund Nuburama Park. How are you doing, sir?
Woo!
Why is this? What are you doing?
I'm introducing you
agreed.
First.
Thurb, you have to realize you're violating my privacy here. I never agree to this.
Wait a minute. You mean like the time you tried to find me on Facebook when as soon as I joined by every single name I was about? I mean, seriously.
Listen, man.
We're violating your space.
No. He's in Canada. He's allowed to do that. In America, the Supreme Court says, no, you guys can't do invasive searching laws and stuff, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's written somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Conrad Kirby Thurbleton.
Anyway, also joining me today is the main squid, Squiddle Sanders.
I will jolly your Roger.
No one can see you. I know you're wearing a pirate hat, but they don't.
Well, no, they do know because they have obviously all of our fans and listeners have watched the Twitch stream from Shimboy at PAX. So it's clearly that's what everyone's done.
Indeed.
Twitch.tv/Shimboy63.
He's wearing that hat again.
The person whose last name I don't know, Vinyak, self-confessed cynic. How you doing, man?
Vinayak, self-confessed cynic, Neliath, I guess you can call me. No, I'm doing well. Hey, The Last of Us is great, you guys. I'm going to hijack this podcast. No, I'm not. Thankfully.
No, I've already let you have 2.5 hours of your own podcast when you said,
you didn't let me do shit.
I can't talk about The Last of Us.
there is a spoiler cast went up. We will not talk about it on this show again, unless in comparison to other games. That's all.
Or if, by some stroke of luck, not Nolan North. Well, if Nolan North comes on,
Troy Baker
responds to Shimboy's tweet and comes on the podcast, all bets are off there,
I'd
folks.
I'd be a Nuburama-esque schoolgirl.
Then we have a legitimate reason to talk about anime
on
the podcast.
It'd be awesome!
Although I will say, dubs are disgusting. Subs.
I don't mind dubs all too much. Whatever.
I'll tell you what. If he comes on here, I'm going to grab my guitar and just start playing.
If he starts jamming with you across the internet, that would be the perfect.
I will tell you, work or playing instruments over Skype does not work.
No,
as
it
well
doesn't.
As you.
Oh,
how about this? I'll
I bet
I'll
Troy Maker could make it happen. He's got an ear on him.
I'll sing and he can play, and we'll do. It'd be great. Great.
It'll be great. It'll be great. Let's predetermine it'll be great.
For today's episode, at least, it's, again, 49th episode without Troy Baker.
What was Nuburama's idea for 50? What was Nuburama's idea for 50? He said he had an idea.
Oh, like a quiz show. PC Gamer podcast. I'm taking an idea from them.
Oh, yeah. Cat Fantastic.
Yeah Cat Fantastic. Except for Luca Deer.
But if it's a quiz show about Guild Wars 2, we will all lose.
Well, no, it can be just about video games.
Oh.
So we'll come up with some ideas, and if we go with a certain quiz show or theme, we'll post
it
on Twitter.
I'm fine with taking something.
I'm just going to throw it out there. If we do something, we should do a video cast, and I will dress up in my full pirate garb and everything and be on here.
But there'll be, no watchers. It'll be the most, humbling and sad video cast.
All right, before we start the show, if you follow us on at the Lincoln Cast,
on Twitter.
It's just the Twitters, not the Facebook. If we do figure out some idea, we'll post it there and look for questions from you guys, and then we'll also say when we're doing the live stream.
Probably on the forums as well.
If not, just whatever.
Whatever.
All right. Anyway, on today's episode, we're going to talk about the new update with the Sky Pirates. I still have weird reservations saying that.
Oh, man.
Their new dungeon, which is not in the sky, as well as the boatload, just metric ton of updates that have come, changes to the game, and just what we've been playing and whatever else comes to mind.
Starting off,
I just the one thing I've actually done this week in Guild Wars, because it's been a crazy work week and much other stuff. The new dungeon. Have you guys done it, Squiddle? New Rama?
I have not. No,
I haven't done a dungeon since I did Catechus's Manor.
That's probably him. Actually, Codicus is Maverick Explorer, non-explorable is fun.
We did Fractals, if that counts, in January.
Yeah.
I think Fractals count as an honorary dungeon.
Sure.
Which actually, again, just reminded folks from last week's episode, they do plan on having, you know, a lot of the story dungeons and other whatnot put into the Fractals. And this one really looks like it would fit in Fractals. It's much shorter than the Flame and Frost final. And it's very well designed. Like the Living Story one was more just like the letter C sort of thing, just this weird arc. This one is much smaller, and then just like overlapping on itself, with very neat art design too. I guess when you're underground, you're limited to certain models, but this one's above ground, sort of. It looks cool.
Wait, is this Etherbade Retreat? Is that what we're talking about, or?
Sure. I don't actually know the name of it. I just ran in with the guild.
Or
and
is
like,
it
hey,
the
we
not
need
so
to
secret jumping? Oh yeah, no, we're not talking about jumping puzzles yet.
They're one and the same.
Oh,
the
okay.
Not so secret jumping puzzle is apparently locked. Until the second Living Story dungeon is released, in which word has it, you're actually fighting in the sky, or at least not ground level. And what is the current dungeon will be like the ruins of it is the not so secret jumping puzzle.
Okay, sure. All right, that makes sense. So it's not. So you haven't. I was wondering why we didn't have the not so secret jumping puzzle on our list to talk about.
Because when I tried going in there, it wouldn't let me through.
Yeah, you would have done it. God damn it!
I tried for like half an hour. Like maybe I can get in this way. Maybe because no.
You shall not pass.
Yeah.
Aw.
Gandalf the Grey is the Defense Against the Arts teacher.
So what's it like and what's it about? This dungeon of yours.
It's still in different sections like the Flame and Frost was, but it's much smaller. I'd say like, you know, a third the size, rough estimate. We fought through, I want to say like four or five packs of just pirates, normal, like, you know, beat them up, move on. I think there was a boss fight. I was really sleep deprived then. but a cool thing is the transition from area to area is like this, you know, this waterway, river, what have you, and you're going across bridges that are like, have electric explosions happening on them. And so you have the combat beat, and then you have the pseudo puzzle, time your dodges to get across, break, and then you're back to the fighting, back and forth, back and forth. And they're even able to add a the piston levers from that we saw in the Dragon Ball PvP event. Did any of you guys do that?
I'm shaking my head.
No.
No. The audio...
Cynic, you probably would have liked it because it was like a lot of people were saying it was the best non-PvP slot. Like it was the non-PvP PvP game that they've done. It was just like very simple. You had one skill and it was more just about you running around the right place and dodging at the right times.
This is the problem with temporary. It's gone now, right?
It's gone, but yeah. There was so much love for it. I wouldn't be surprised if it came back in some form.
Yeah, like because I was doing things during that period. Yeah. Which I'm
pretty sure it's the case for me, but I don't know for you. Saying even if it was permanent content, would you still end up playing it? That is the question.
I would play it alongside like a bunch of other stuff. Like how I like to consume content, which we talked about here before, is to save up a bunch and then just do it all at once. And
so I have a question based on that. What if it was like you never experienced that content, but you could jump in with a bunch of guildies that may have or what later as a one-time event where you can go in there one time until you complete it, but you get to experience it. And then once it's done, you can't go back in because it's past content.
That's a weird system.
So it's unique to the person who like each person can go in once on.
Well, like during
the first time.
Right. During its run, you can do it as much as you want. Then they say, okay, we're done with that content, but we're going to set aside a couple other servers for people who have not done it. And if you want to go in it and then invite other people that may have or have not, you can do it. But once you get to completion, you can't go back in. It's like a one-time story completion.
So it's the secret Cal level in Diablo 2.
What's crazy is that seems possible from like what limited programming knowledge I have. I think that's a doable thing. Whether or not they want to go through with that, I don't know.
I'd probably do it differently. I'd say you can have an influence thing, which is just like a guild ticket for a puzzle or whatever, an event, so your guild can save up to have these tickets. And then when people who come back to the guild or something like that come in, you can just, or if you just have influence sitting around, you can ask your officer, hey, can you just spend some influence on a ticket and I can go in and do this thing? And if you have a cool guild like we do, you'll probably be allowed to do it. So you can have like a thing where your guild can do events even based on previous like big events.
There is something that's coming down the rumor mill I found on the Guild Wars Reddit that we can just transition to, I guess. The one last thing I'll cap on for the dungeon. Two things for the dungeon. Oh, one, they had the jumping
pads. By the way,
pads.
The answer to that would have been, yeah, I'd do it with a friend if I could come back at any time I wanted to. Yeah, sure.
I'll totally do it. But the final boss fight is freaking super unforgiving.
In the new one or the past one?
The current one.
The current one. Okay.
Story mission one. Story mission two has yet to come out at the time of this recording. Story mission one, it's just so many AoEs and
are we talking about unbalanced flame elemental unforgiving?
No, what it is like they're phase one is there's one guy with a cannon, and then one guy with the main boss they have to fight has got all these buffs on her. And the way you if you try attacking her at like by normal, you can't hurt her. She's immune to damage. And then like as the stacks get lower, you can do base damage to her, but not conditions, or like some effects don't work on her. And as she gets to zero stacks, you can do full damage to her.
Right.
The way you have those stacks reduced is you have to have the guy with the cannon shoot his AoE at her. So basically you have to have everyone stacked up next to her, and she's very dangerous at lower healths. But that's not the unforgiving part, because like you take a few hits, dodge out of the way, and then like just make sure hopefully she'll stay there before she reacquires somebody and runs away from the AoE. The unforgiving part is in between those phases, like it's at every 25% or something, they go up onto like they teleport up and just cannon fire rains from the sky that covers up, I want to say, roughly a quarter of the screen.
There are no safe parts, no safe places you can.
No, it's just I've heard some strategies. If you run as a group of five, you can like more or less outrun the stuff. Just the issue is if you get hit by like two or three of these, because it wears you down so much, so that like it wears you down faster than you can heal past just getting brazed. If you get on the ground, you're dead, and then soon enough, it's two people are dead, three people are dead, and then two people can't revive, like can't rally, like pick back up from that, because then it's okay, one person has to deal with this boss that is super deadly and the other one has to do the rezzing, and it usually never works out that way.
Right.
The other boss fight in there is a lot of fun, now that my memory is coming back. It was it was an element of there's this like center point in a circle that has a laser wall like rotating around it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to stand on boxes to like not get hurt by the laser wall. You can't dodge through it. You can't jump over it. You have to jump on these boxes. Later in the fight, there's a laser that covers the entire wall, like it's from floor to ceiling, but that's just really slow. And so you have to outrun that while also making sure you're on top of boxes when the small laser grid goes through.
So it's like a top laser and a lower laser?
No, it's a lower laser and a full wall laser.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's just the full wall laser is slower. Like,
okay.
I'd say half as slow, if that's a word, phrase. All the while trying to fight these robots that are like, and so that is a solid fight. This one, they could have probably tweaked the damage some. But anyway, that is a new dungeon. I suggest folks try it out. It's a lot of fun. Up until you get to the final boss fight, then it's like, oh no, this is too painful. But again, rumor mill on the Guild Wars Reddit, according to a French interview site, or French interview confirms Arena working on raid-like content. Pain is, when I go to the link to the French interview website thing, it's the page isn't found anymore.
Oh,
and nowhere in the Reddit do they say what the French people said.
Nice.
Pretty cool. But yeah, what do you guys think of raid content for ArenaNet? Like, how would you like to see it, and how do you – let's start with that. How would you guys like to see it?
I think you being the person who actually has done raids, tell me why I would want it.
I agree because I've never done – in every game I played, I've never done
– Yeah, like, I didn't play the raid thing.
Let's see. Raid content usually ends up being just a – like, well, okay, there's – the massive boss fight, there's this giant thing that is just like, it's either a DPS race or there's some, he does some attack that is like, you know, it's that is designed for large groups of people. Or there's the ones that like, okay, now everyone has to split into these groups, or like there's the team that is working on respawns, or the team that's running around fighting like, you know, all these in place things. It opens up for the idea of large scale fights. Unfortunately, what most like, with most raid content MMOs, people demand more and more raids, more and more raids. So they're having to, like, it's the carrot and the stick trope. And so you default back to the, oh, just fight the big boss guy. And it less becomes skill and more becomes gear.
So that sounds like, well, how is that different from what we have currently, specifically?
Just more people.
Like, yeah, more people.
Anywhere
right?
from 10 to 40 people.
So isn't that kind of what we already have in dynamic events in some cases, like a lot of cases?
Yes and no. It is, but they don't have, at least compelling enough abilities to make me give a crap designed for large scales. Like the closest thing to a raid boss we saw was the Karka.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, well, God.
Yeah, but based on that, I've seen raids and videos that have gone better than the Karka event did. So.
Well, no, just the idea of the Karka boss. Like,
well, I just didn't find him very,
he will
very
just
interesting. Sweat,
like straight up roll groups of people.
The problem with that, I don't know. It's like as an individual player, you don't feel like you're ever doing anything in a boss that strong.
Hmm.
Like you're not making.
That's like that is the raid boss, like the single unit type. What do you guys think of as like they're raids, but they're like, you know, okay, it's something where a group of 15, like a multi-party thing, has to break down in small groups of 5 or even less than like groups of 4 or something, and do multiple things at the same time,
I
or like
that.
You know, towards a greater goal.
Yeah, I would love like a Tom Clancy type thing where you have to go and get something in this house, and then once you do that, you could say, okay, Alpha Squadron, go, go, go. You know?
And then your friends and then come in on smart glass devices.
Yeah.
And you pan out, and there's other parties that are playing against
and then I
have,
and then I control a drone that actually gives health to my people that I'm playing with. You know, I mean, all that kind of stuff.
So you know what? Yeah. Like, joking aside, that does actually sound pretty cool.
I don't know. I don't have faith in people who play video games enough that a large number of people trying to coordinate one goal will ever possibly work well.
Because you get a Leroy Jenkins type moment where one guy just wants to go AWOL and run in there.
Or like 10 people don't care.
How about this? Like Battlefield works. AFK. BF works with 64 player matches.
Well, but the thing is, that's because they're just killing people. Battlefield isn't a...
What,
go
isn't
into
top
a
level
Battlefield. It's not them, all right, guys, I'm going to get the jets ready, and then you pull in with the tank.
But some,
no, it's
some
like,
people do
okay,
play
I'm
going to
sit here with my sniper and I'm those guys. There's no sort of court... You want coordination? Play a game of Arma with the community.
See,
but
this,
if you want,
that's the stem of this. You're an Arma fanboy.
No,
you're an Arma fanboy who looks down at Battlefield. But I know for certain
Battlefield is one of my favorite games.
People do
face.
Play Battlefield that way. People do coordinate in Battlefield.
They're playing like Project Reality or within a clan. But if they're
clans.
Playing with pugs, it's hard to get 40 people for a lot of people without going to random groups.
But that's why
it's
you break it down to groups of 5.
Guys, okay, Jimmy, come back over here. Please stop messing with the Karka. No, we're not fighting them yet. Come back. Jimmy, stop messing
Jimmy's
with
AFK.
The Karka.
His mom called him for dinner.
Squiddle's gone crazy.
People back home can't see it. He's actually acting it out, which works. Like, it works for us.
It works just so well. Anyway, I says to Mabel, on face value of like for like what people jump into maps and on servers and all that, they see Battlefield has that, like, you know, it's just, hey, it's a rush, or hey, it's like it's point control sort of thing. Whereas and you can have coordinated play, but it's usually on friends on Skype or something in a squad, which Arma also has the squads, but they have I see lots of YouTube videos of like, okay, well, we're going to do this custom thing of trying to take over this town, trying to do some objective, and you like there's no respawn sort of thing. That's how they make it competitive. I'm not sure how
I guess like
Battlefield does it, but
for Guild Wars 1 people and Cynic, I guess it sounds a lot like Alliance Battles. You remember those?
Which I loved Alliance Battles. What's wrong with
you? I loved Alliance Battles, but I would always get so mad because it's either like groups not knowing like each individual group not knowing what they're doing, or just one big blob of the group running around the map just killing one person at a time.
Because we only played Alliance Battles when like it was just kind of starting up, and at that point people were actually being pretty competitive with it, and it was pretty fun. Like every group, even though we were just learning, it got to the point maybe 2 weeks in or 3 weeks into that to that expansion that everyone was actually doing a pretty good job of it, and we hadn't devolved into like a fucking massive
3 months
people.
In, 4 months in, yeah. People are just going massive blobbing. Yeah. And they don't understand how the game really works.
So, well, Squiddle, have you done? You've done some of the guild challenges with the Lincoln Force, right, or some other guild?
Yes.
That I think was at the current, like at the time of recording, that is the closest thing to raid content we've seen in Guild Wars 2. And like some of it, like the one I did was the branded one, where there's five pillars that you have to destroy at the same time. Otherwise, they'll respawn back to full health.
Oh, the crystals? Yeah, the crystals. Right. Yeah, okay, I remember that. That was a pain in the ass. But yes.
And well, like it was a pain in the ass, but also it was, hey, we're just going to have all the DPS zerg around and like just stop DPS when it gets to low health, and then we'll focus on the actually beating it up part.
Right, but so, I can see where they say the coordination part, right? You have one guy that's like DPS that just gets mad with, I'm going to DPS the shit out of everything, and then all of a sudden like, oh, crystal got popped, and then
if that's what we've seen in terms of like raid content from ArenaNet, can we expect them to like, it looks like it's just going to be the same thing as all the other MMO raids, which that's what the people may want. I don't know. But personally, I would rather see like, you know, more skilled, less sponges, less sponge battles, and more like, okay, it's more tactics
or
skill.
Tactical fight. Yeah. No, I would love to.
Do you
see
think
that,
they can pull it off?
I think they can pull it off. It really doesn't depend. So ANet can go, here, we're going to give you this way of playing, and it's going to be very tactical, and you need to follow these paths. It's whether or not the main people who are playing it want to play by those rules and understand what's going on. So it's the player base that has to go, I'm going to listen to the people I'm with, I'm going to follow what they say, because either they've done it before or they have an idea. We're going to see how it works, as opposed to one guy that's going to go, I'm going to do what the hell I want to do, and screw you guys, I'm going home, type attitude, you know? So it's the player that has to say, I agree to do this, and let's do it the way they intended it.
Right. There's no...
Or if you're going to force the issue of like, oh, if you want to try and beat this guy down, like he's going to just regenerate really fast if not enough people are attacking him or something.
Yeah. Well, you could do that too, yeah.
But if you do that, you know what's just going to happen? It's going to be three guys attacking him, yelling, where's everyone else? We can't kill him without you guys. The rest of them just jacking off or doing whatever the fuck they want otherwise. Because that's, at the end of the day, I think people are bad people, and all people are bad people, and things like that. I don't know.
Wait, so you're not the cynic. You can't be that way.
He's Canadian.
He's Canadian, yeah. He's evil on the inside.
I forget. Unless you work in a framework in a sort of like people's republic or a democracy, and you have a strong leader leading you through the harshest times with an iron fist, only then can you achieve true glory and efficiency in the battlefield.
Which Kim Jong is that? Stalin. Who's your favorite Kim Jong?
Kim Il-sung. Guaranteed the Kim Jongs are all bad.
Okay.
Although he killed millions of people of his own countrymen and ruined his country forever.
I'm shaking my head, by the way. I'm shaking my head. This is you can't see this.
Again, having listened to podcasts about Victoria 2 and knowing how much you love Victoria 2, you are still a horrible person, Ubrahma. To be good at that game, you have to be bad. You have to be the baddest person.
The multiplayer is so much fun.
And anyway, so I guess that's just rounds up. Is there anything else with the new update PvE-wise that you guys No, like I'm sure there's a lot. We'll talk about it next week, hopefully. Whenever I'm in these days, I'm playing WoW.
There's like the dragon.
I'm just standing around.
Nice.
Well, no, the Dragon Bash, this is actually a really cool thing. The Dragon Bash, like, they did a really good transition into the Sky Pirates in that, like, there were people complaining at the Dragon Bash, and then suddenly there were dead people at the Dragon Bash, yeah. And now, like, the Ellen Keel from the Karka events is sent in to investigate. And, like, and suddenly it's the Sky Pirates who did the murders, apparently. And I think I saw some inquest.
Right. Because, like, the thing is, I didn't play this. I started playing Guild Wars for a bit again, but I didn't play until the Sky Pirates already hit for a bit. And I'm just on Facebook, and I just see these updates of these pictures of Guild Wars 2 characters with X's along them saying, these people have been crossed out from the search list of the assassins for blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, they're really trying really hard with this story stuff. Like, they're really building something up.
Nice.
And you would just see, like, there'd be, like, hundreds or, like, dozens of these pictures, and there's, like, this big frame of, like, 25 faces, and every five minutes they just have a different updated picture with one of them crossed off, and I'm like, what are you doing?
So essentially, it turns into the CIA quick look game, the Giant Bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
Where
it's really mundane and confusing.
It's Guild Wars 2, The Usual Suspects.
There you go.
Which one of those Guild Wars 2 characters is Kaiser Soze? the one thing that I'm bummed I haven't checked out yet, which I'm just reminded about and I'll probably check out this weekend, is the scavenger hunt thing. That is basically, it was permanent content, but it was supposed to help describe about the Sky Pirates. But it was a scavenger hunt, so that sounds like something cool. I don't know.
Should they add it with Sky Pirates? Because like 3 days ago, I decided to drop $20 on the gem store without knowing what I'm going to buy. I'm like, I'll just drop $20 on this game I don't really play anymore. That sort of forced me to get into Guild Wars 2. And I'm like, oh, there has to be some new costumes. No, there wasn't. And they added some, what is it called? Armor skins? Those were armor skins, right?
Yeah.
And man, they are fucking ugly. Like, who is going to pay
like
$10 for those armor skins?
They're steampunk and stuff, man.
I thought there's like some tastefully looking steampunk armor that's out there. I'm not gonna like rip on steampunkers or whatever the fuck it's called.
But I think by nature you just did.
It is ugly. It is. It's not. I don't know what it is. It just.
Is it worse than anime steampunk, or is it on par with anime steampunk?
I don't know too much about anime steampunk. Surprisingly,
liar.
It's. Well, I don't, name me something that's anime steampunk. I don't think the Japanese are really.
I've seen a couple. I can't call them out by name.
Trigun?
No, not Trigun.
Sort of.
No. It's got a giant steam train thing.
I guess, but I was thinking of
There are tons of dudes with goggles in there.
There are dudes with goggles, there's one with the airships that that fire at each other in the sky.
Airshipu.
And
just say it.
The first episode opens. With two airships going up next to one another, and like these drop doors fall down, there's dudes with muskets inside, and they fire at it. It's the worst, and people love it.
Like, just jumping out of the airships are 1 million.
Boy anime with what's Jean-Luc Picard's actor again?
I should know this, but I feel so terrible for forgetting.
Patrick Stewart sure
voiced one of the things.
Patrick Stewart.
Wait, Sir Patrick Stewart. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Why are we talking about? Regardless, yeah, the armor's.
Armor skin stuff from the
get some costume designers to buy shit I will buy, please, or make
you know
shit.
What else is in the item store right now? You can now get custom arena, start your own custom arena tokens.
$20.
We talked about SBK,
it is $20. It's $20, but it's a month. I'm trying to transition to PvP so you can talk Cynic.
There's not to talk about, apparently.
That's balance change? No, actually, I was kind of bummed. While I was on a couple days ago, it's several days after the update, I did a look on the official browser to see if now that the top 50 like PvPers are off, the floodgates must be open. There must be a ton of like custom arenas, like
nope.
Bob's old timey, battleground. Hey, noobs only. Nothing like that.
Yeah, no.
Noobs only.
We could have predicted. I think we actually did predict that it would just end up.
I think
as
you
the
predicted
same.
That. I was still hopeful that we'd see some silly stuff, but
no.
There's not a lot of room in those options to make silly stuff.
And if there is, they wouldn't catch on unless they have a really funny name for. Because apparently, having just a funny name for your arena is enough to get you a couple of people playing in it. Like that's that's where we're at now in Guild Wars 2. But whatever. That's the thing. But are we talking about the balance, the crazy amount of balance changes that happened? Is that what we're doing now?
Yes, let's start poking into that mountain.
So we started recording like an hour earlier today than we were expecting to, because Noob was like, oh, it's like I'm recording too late. Oh, I got it. I'm tired.
Go to sleep. I just spent 2 hours in the gym this morning.
Nice. Good job. Good job.
Gym tan laundry, as they say in the shore of the Jersey.
What?
Jersey Shore.
Shaking my head.
So going back to balance changes, I have no idea what you just said. But so there is actually a lot, and there is more here that we can cover in like any form of reduced manner on this podcast. And I don't believe we are any longer equipped to do it in depth anymore. But I will say that the sheer amount of balance changes, which are just like reduced after cost by 0.25 seconds and stuff like that. A lot of this is really like low level stuff that really dig into deep sections of balance, like why things, how things work out in battle as they are, and making small shifts to change them. But at the same time, you have big sweeping changes. Like, for example, fucking Endure Pain has got a 60 second recharge instead of a 90 second recharge now. Like, actual large changes to skills that will significantly change the metagame going forward. But at the same time, like, the only real way to get a good feel for how this is going now is to check the numerous Guild Wars 2 forums and what the people there think about it. And I don't want to know what those people think, to a large extent. Or just watch a shitload of replays to see how anything like along those lines have had like changed and how that come into effect. But we just haven't had time to do it. So maybe not this week can we go into any real depth into what these changes have meant. But there
possibly
are a couple.
Never.
Possibly never. Probably never. But there are a couple.
Necro is all I know.
Yeah.
So I think
I'll
be
delving
awesome
into my necromancer again. Squid.
I think it would be awesome. I have, you know, macro set up for my main attacks that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not a person that micromanages or macro manages, however you want to put it, my attacks and how, you know, I do this attack and it does this much damage. I kind of have a set standard how I do it.
Mm-hmm.
It works. It doesn't work, you know, whatever it is. But it would be awesome if you went back in after they did a big balance change and you could go into an area and say, okay, I do this attack and it tells me what I did before and how much I do now. And if it's less, I would know to say, okay, I need to maybe change something out. What was buffed or what was better than what I did before to add into the mix, kind of to help me out, because I'm not an avid MMO or where I'm going to know all that kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
So that a thing out there, you know, a little
just an idea,
put a pin
that
in that. Yeah. Something they can maybe think about if they ever listen to this.
So what they do have now is they have those damage like saying machines out there, which you can just hit and it'll tell you a DPS, or you can go up against the dummies and get a decent idea of what you're like. Those things are really made for people who do, like, when I was into PvP back when this game came out, I would be like timing myself, like actually using a stopwatch to see how much damage I did, and actually playing around with like watching the numbers I'm actually doing and writing them down or tracking them.
Old timey theory crafting. Back when computers weren't around and all you had was
in this case,
a rock.
People who do that will
in a rock. What?
Paper wasn't invented then.
Back when my grandfather had a sword and a bow and arrow.
If they had a pencil, they have something to write the pencil on. A rock.
Yeah, a rock. Jesus. How do you think the Ten Commandments were made?
Not with the pencil, I'll tell you that.
A lot of chiseling and a guy saying, okay, hit now.
Exactly.
Anyway, Cynic, it's theory crafting. Stop watching.
I forgot you guys can see me. You can see what my reaction is to this conversation.
No,
I forgot about that.
Everything's frozen for me.
Oh, okay.
I'm amazed the internet is stable so far.
Well, aside from the really minutia, which will pan out as things go forward, obviously we're getting reactions off the forums now, and everyone is having... I don't need to tell you what... I don't need to regurgitate that to you. You can just have a look yourself to see where everyone is. Headspace is at the moment. There are a couple of big changes that I did want to hit on. The first one, and my favorite one, even though I wasn't expecting this to be my favorite one, is AoE looting, which is awesome. So They've now added a option in the options which allows your interact button to have a 900 unit range. So the same range as like a shout or whatever. And you instantly loot everything in that range. Or you can have a separate key bind for AoE loot.
I mean, that's really cool. They have valid reasons for not being able to have like an automatically show up an inventory feature, like especially for world versus world where before it was like, oh, I don't want to go to where the giant mob of people are to pick up the body, like pick up the loot from the body I got.
Yeah.
So instead they make it spawn at your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, what if I'm running or something? It's we can't show up in your inventory because what if you have full inventory? What happens then?
Right.
We can't mail it. This mail system will get overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one step closer to just making it so people stop complaining.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It's pretty great. I actually really like this idea because there has been instances where I've just been like mashing E, then start rezzing someone or like a pet or something when I actually just wanted to pick up loot.
Gathering herbs.
Admittedly, I should have been rezzing the pet anyway. But.
No.
Fuck those people. I want my loot and that's why I'm here.
I'm fairly sure rangers can just swap pets.
Oh yeah, swap pets and get rid of. Yeah. Fuck those guys. Fuck rangers.
Being lazy.
Fuck rangers is what I'm saying. Fuck pets. Anyway, it's great. So I can. There's actually an option, and that gives you options, which is good. So they did it the right way, and also you can have a secondary keybind, which I like. But I'll probably just end up enabling that for everything because AoE looting sounds awesome. The second thing I wanted to note on is, of course, Torment, which we talked about last week. So they it looks like they're bringing in Torment. Oh, and before we get to Torment, shitloads of new Stunbreakers, which is awesome. I actually really like that. A bunch of skills Stunbreak now, which they didn't used to. We were talking about before, like spreading Stunbreakers out over utility skills, but it looks like they were actually doing it. This is, in fact, for Warriors, Dolyak Signet has Stunbreaks, which is crazy because it's a Signet. Anyway. So, back to Torment. Torment is way more damaging than I thought it was going to be, but it's way harder. It seems like it's way harder to stack than I thought it was going to be, so it kind of balances out. How it works out is it does 75% off what bleeding does on like a damage per second basis when your enemy is not moving, which is actually not bad. It's I think bleeding is the lowest damaging condition out there per stack, but it's balanced by being able to be stacked to 25 and stacking in intensity. This stacks in intensity too, but there's only three skills in the whole game that I could see that actually do it. And of them, only one seems anywhere near decent, which is the Mesmer one. And what the Mesmer one does is five stacks of Torment, which is actually quite a lot, for 8 seconds on a 12-second recharge. It's block the next attack, countered by applying Torment, and create a clone that casts Etherbolt. Three things in one skill. It seems like it's 2 second cast time. It seems to be like a channel to actually get it done. But it's only got a 12-second recharge. It does 8 seconds of Torment. And we all know that's before you apply any form of condition duration upgrade. So you could probably get perma-torment if you're doing a 1v1. Of course, the 2 seconds cast time does tend to do it, though. But no, and it's got a range of 900. So it's actually pretty cool. So and it creates a clone, which is awesome. So that one sounds pretty strong. I have to admit, it's for the Scepter. They're putting that on the Scepter. But either way, like they're only adding three skills, so can't really change metagame yet.
It's nice that the Scepter got a little bit of love because, yeah. I mean, it was a mid-range, which meant you get, like, it's if you didn't have the invulnerability of the sword,
mm-hmm.
like for close range sort of thing, right. As well as like the teleport on the sword is really good too. The Scepter was just like, I'm slowly doing damage from like mid range, not even far range, and if someone gets in my face, it's going to be like tough.
Right.
So this is a nice fix or nice help. Really, I just wish they do something for the elementalist focus because.
Oh, okay, now I'm seeing like how this works out in Wiki. So it's a duration of 2 seconds with 2 second activation time, which that means block next attack, which means you hit it, and then for the next 2 seconds you're going to block and attack, and then from there on you would counter. With the shitloads of Torment. Five stacks of Torment for 8 seconds. 1,280 damage is what it's written here, but that doesn't make sense because it's based on your condition stats. But perhaps more importantly is you can essentially... This means if you're fighting a warrior or a thief as a Mesmer, they'll be hitting you constantly. So you will get a block off, which is a reduction in damage. You will get a clone, because that's what the effect is. And that clone will cast Etherbolt, and you will put in Torment.
I am tentatively really on board for seeing more stuff like this.
Yeah.
Because this means we'll have fights, despite the ability to, like, you know, pounce on each other and just, like, you know, DPS burst down. Mm-hmm. It will be a, like, you know, a cat and mouse sort of back and forth of, like, right. Okay, I can't jump on him until he, like, until he makes his dodge move, and then I have to not attack during that time.
Yeah.
And then I can attack.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's.
And that plays
this will
into,
hopefully make fights more interesting.
But it's scary because that plays into why Torment is so good, because 75% of the damage of bleeding when your target is not moving. But if he's moving, it's 150% damage of bleeding. So you're doing 5 stacks of something that does 150% the damage of bleeding over 8 seconds. And if you pump up your condition duration, you could probably make it infinite. That is pretty strong. Terrible things going crazy.
So what if you just stand still?
Well, then you get away, and you're a mesmer, so you can, and you're ranged. So, and this is on your scepter.
Who does torment again? I missed that whole part.
So only,
it is a debuff, so yeah. Multiple people can do it. I believe necromancers and mesmers and one other class.
Thief. Thief is getting.
Okay, so what you're saying is my bleeds build that I originally developed for my thief would be good based on having torment.
Kind of. So their torment skill is Scale Venom, which is apply Scale Venom to your attacks. It does 10 seconds of vulnerability, 5 seconds of torment, 1 stack, and for 3 attacks. So you're essentially getting 3 stacks of torment for 5 seconds, which is actually not that much.
Scale Venom first is the ultimate, I believe. But it's your next 3 attacks will apply Scale Venom, which, so you can get 3 stacks of that on one person.
Yeah, but you're only getting 3 stacks of 1 stack of torment. So you're only doing 3 stacks of torment total.
Yeah.
And
if you have it on.
Yeah.
And but you said torment stacks 75% damage?
Each stack of torment. Bleeding. Yeah, each stack of torment is equatable to 75% of what 1 stack of bleeding would do.
Okay.
So 1 stack of torment is actually not that much. But the crazy thing about the mesmer thing is it immediately applies 5 stacks of torment. Whereas
now, does that stack based on what my other teammates do? Like if somebody else does torment, okay.
Torment stacks intensity, so it's not duration. It wouldn't.
Okay,
but you would get you could probably get someone in pretty high DPS numbers of pure condition damage.
Okay. Oh,
on someone.
So it wouldn't be 3 seconds of torment for Scale Venom. It would be like.
It would be 3 sets of 5 stacks, oh, so 5 seconds of torment, which would not entirely overlap one another, each doing 75% of bleeding damage. So it's not.
But you
that
just said they stack intensity, not damage.
Well, how intensity works how intensity works is it's as if you're applying a new condition on top of the previous one, but the durations don't overlap. So the first one will end before the last one finishes, right?
Blinking Cast, Guild Wars 2 community, Giant Bomb Communities, Guild Wars 2 podcast when it comes to theory crafting, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway, what I'm saying is, I don't think the Scale Venom is their ultimate.
It's cool.
I think it's underpowered. I don't think it's strong enough. It's a 45 second recharge. I guess it's balanced by the fact that you can apply it to your like surroundings if people still use that trait, I guess. So for other people.
What if I just take my rapier and like thrust it into their eye socket? I mean, does that work?
Yes.
It is a third mark skill point.
Oh.
I'm thinking of different venom.
Yeah. You're thinking of basilisk, I think. Oh, am I crazy?
I think so. It's one of the venoms.
The basilisk thing makes you just frozen.
Which is crazy. But yeah, that's the elite from memory.
Which would be a good debuff to have if you have... terror on you.
So torment. The last one is the Necromancer one, which is a quarter second cast time, which is pretty awesome. Not available in underwater and a 40 second recharge, but it does 3 stacks of torment for 10 seconds, which is not bad. And I guess range 600, it's just essentially you cast on an enemy and does some direct damage. It gives him some torment. It's whatever. That one seems a non-issue. The Mesmer one seems very strong, and the Thief one seems like a non-issue as well. So they're bringing in Torment really slowly, which is a good thing, because you don't want to just suddenly unleash a really potentially combat-changing condition on everyone. But either way.
And we're positive, like, let's say Scorpion Wire doesn't actually cause damage.
No, we didn't know.
Moving towards you.
We don't know. I haven't had a chance to check, and I haven't read the forums deeply enough to see.
We're going to have Will and Norm test that out.
But aside from that,
outsource
you will.
That's just a shitload of changes, man. I can't really say more than that. It would be crazy for us to go through them in any depth, because there's like 20 plus changes per class. It's kind of crazy.
And I'm happy about it. I mean, if it has me changing up my my utilities and my main attacks and what I do, that's awesome. I'd love to jump back in and be like, hey, I can't do the same attack I did because it's not going to do much damage. I have to change things up. So that's pretty awesome.
It's what you want from balance changes. You want balance changes to, alongside actually change the balance, you want them to reinvigorate combat, which is why there used to be stuff like this on a monthly basis for Guild Wars 1 or bi-monthly basis for Guild Wars 1. So I'm happy to see them finally doing stuff like this for Guild Wars 2. So it's pretty cool.
Holy crap. Important thing with this update for War vs. World, at least, the outman buff is now hidden from enemies.
What was that?
What? Outman, let's say there's like 200 people on server A and server B and only 50 on server C active in War vs. World. You get a debuff that says like, hey, I don't think it actually says this, but hey, if you die, you don't take durability loss and you get a big bonus to like magic find and like I think karma and experience.
Right.
But pretty much it meant, hey, these guys don't have enough people to defend their keep. Let's just like roll over their whole area like in the next half hour. Hey guys, let's zerg up.
Yeah, because it tells you who's even more ready to be boned.
Yeah, because a lot of people are like, hey, let's do game theory and like second and third place beat up the first place. But really, it's both like first and second. We'll just beat up the guy in third.
Because they fight out of the scraps for third, and
Yep. Yeah. And so when you get that, like, hey, this guy's weaker than the rest of us, let's pick on him.
If anything,
human nature.
If anything, this should be educational to people to realize that that's not how war works. War works by path of least resistance. You crush the smallest person until they're gone, and then you use whatever you can scrape up from what they had, their dead corpse, and use that to fight the bigger person. That's essentially how war has always worked. So.
War never changes.
Then
Valhalla comes down and takes you.
People have huge aspirations for, oh, what if the small guys from like team up to fight the big? No. That's not how this. Well, anyway. What was it, New Rama? You're going to bring us some history?
Well, I was going to say, if you're fighting a bigger enemy, you pretend to team up with them.
Yeah.
And then when you're sort of done, you just fuck them in the ass and take everything they have.
Backstab.
There you go.
Or if you're England, you pretend to meet, like do that, but you're the bigger person and you fuck them in the ass when you're done. So.
If you're England, you lose all of your empire.
Yeah, so until the inevitable losing everything at the end. Because, by the way, you fucked everyone over and everyone hates you.
Yes.
Yeah, so,
but
anyway.
But they're still willing to have the queen's face on the dollar bills.
Yeah.
Anyway, I believe that does it for the Leaky Cast part of...
Is that it? Is there anything else for Guild Wars 2 stuff to talk about?
Oh, I play some Guild Wars 2.
What'd you do?
Well, we'll just transition into what we've been playing.
That was my thing. I played some Guild Wars 2.
New Brahma, you got into Guild Wars 2 again. What the crap is up with that?
So the thing is, like, when I play games, like Guild Wars, for example,
you
like
go marathon
or not
those
even
games.
Playing games. When I'm watching television, I feel like I'm wasting my entertainment time, like my free time by watching television and not doing other things I probably enjoy more. So what I now end up having to do is, while I'm watching television, I have to do something on my computer, whether it be
people
like...
People today demand new experiences with interactive entertainment.
What if, New Robot, you could have your television...
Where I was going is that...
On your computer monitor.
...areas of Guild Wars without paying attention while watching television. Okay. That's why I'm playing Guild Wars. That is the honest truth.
Yeah.
I don't need to concentrate in this game, so I can just watch television while playing games.
By the way, that's exactly what Revan does.
You're farming, basically, is what you're saying.
Yes, for some strange reason, my greatest enjoyment in MMOs is just grinding. When I play an MMO, I get my enjoyment, like some sort of weird sexual arousal, by just earning things that I'm not even going to use because I don't really play that often. It's like...
So- Can you show us? Can you show us what the grinding looks like?
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. No one at home. I guess they can hear it.
Slap it. Oh, make me happy. Yeah.
So after that, is there anything else you've been up to, Noob Rama?
I just wanted to know, Noob. I think you're actually just being more honest than most MMO players. Because I think that is what MMOs are to the majority of people.
We're a masochistic bunch. Like,
yeah.
It's the sexual pleasure you derive from just grinding with the game you're playing.
I don't think
playing.
That's masochism. You're not hurting yourself. No, you're just like spending time.
No, because I don't have true enjoyment out of playing that experience. I would have more fun doing dungeons or doing guild events, right?
So what you're saying is you can dominate the grinding, whereas the other parts you can't really dominate. You just you get on top.
I can grind on my own time.
I'm starting to regret.
I can grind anything and everything whenever I want.
Having Squiddle on this podcast, too.
No, I like this. This is great.
Two forces of evil.
This is fantastic.
Oh, no.
This is the best.
But yeah, to better put it, it's when I had quit WoW and I hadn't started playing Guild Wars yet, what I found that, like, at least with like when I wasn't playing other games, like, you know, usually first-person shooters or strategy games, I still wanted that itch of, like, I want the... I guess, zone out and just let the creative wandering side of me take over. And that's where I started playing Minecraft. But I also wanted the player versus player, the teamwork aspect. And that's why I got into League of Legends.
Right.
And so that, like, that's what a lot of people end up playing MMOs for, is because that, like, they want the community interaction, but they also want to just wander / just kill stuff and not pay attention while watching TV.
It's not even like grinding or farming. I don't think it's even farming, because I'm just going around 100%ing zones, and there's no real end goal to why I'm doing it. It just, I feel like I'm wasting time if I'm just watching television or just listening to a podcast.
I need to pause you there, because that transitions beautifully into a user who requested, or a listener who requested Shinboy to give us a shout out. So Decima, listener of the podcast, just got Bolt from grinding, as Noob Rama would be. So I would assume, Noob Rama, that if you applied yourself for long enough whilst also watching TV, you could be like Decima and get Bolt. But aside from that, just want to give him a shout out because
like
he met Shinboy.
Cloth?
A legendary weapon of epic proportions.
Oh no, but wait, how did he get this?
He just grinded a bunch and crafted it and got
lucky
with the precursor.
I'm only just 100%ing without... Because I'm 100% low level zones, I would never get something like this.
Hey, noob.
Yeah.
That's one of the things you have to do to get a legendary is 100% the world.
Yeah.
And also, people have gotten precursors from some of the boss events in low level zones, like the Maw.
Yep. See, now that you're giving me a goal, I've just suddenly got no motivation to
get it.
Hey, noob Rama.
I just want to say, as the fog falls upon the hill, the shining beacon of light rises upon the tip, and the bolt that Decima has found pierces the sky and causes hellacious damnation to rise upon every step that he takes.
Are you like, do you have a strip off screen that you keep looking over to?
What was that?
No, I did. My mic's over here.
It's your audition script for your new role.
Exactly.
What was that? Was that a thing from something else, or did you just make that up on the spot?
No, that was just...
You just ad-libbed an awesome setup for Decima, which I also hope this entire podcast we're all mispronouncing his name.
I don't know. It could be Decima. Fucking... I don't know. But,
Decima?
I love that the moment Noob is given even the remotest point of a goal for his needless grinding whilst watching TV, he's immediately turned off.
Hey, Noob Rama, you want a goal? Fair. You dropped $20 in that game. You might as well play some.
Yeah, the thing is, I dropped $20 without really knowing what to spend, because I had hoped like costumes would come along, but no. You know, ArenaNet can't get people who designs good costumes.
Oh, burn!
Suck on that, you little...
What would you want?
Failures.
What would you want from costumes? They gave you Sky Pirate costumes.
I want something that's business casual that I could wear to formal events without looking too formal. You know what
Do you guys think they haven't made dresses and suits yet because they don't want to have a ton of creepy player marriages?
I just want to say this. Noob wants to be the hipster when it comes to it. He doesn't want to be too formal, but he doesn't want to be too casual. He wants to be
I just
want to,
it's like, it's just a one one thing fits all sort of thing. But the thing is, they released in Guild Wars 1, they did release like wedding gowns and like a suit, but near the very end of its life cycle when like Gwen and what's his face get married. And I think that's the reason, because the amount of sort of weird creepiness that can go on in an MMO is really creepy. But now that it's like non-instance, I think there's too much social stigma for those weirdos to come out.
Have you seen Lion's Arch?
I haven't seen. Well, I've been to Lion's Arch, but I turn my in-game voice.
Same.
Off. You know, yeah. I think very soon I might be able to have
an in-game marriage.
Like, no. I mean, like it's there will be enough items where I could make a character that is just named like Hipster or something, and he like they will look like a hipster.
Nice.
Just like misfit clothing.
I mean, you can get like you can get a hoodie. You can get like the giant like thick rim spectacles. Right. You can get like
the problem is they're designer hoodies. It says in the store. It's not thrift shop hoodie. It doesn't scream hipster to me.
Well, no, there's designer hoodies and there's also like thrift hoodies American. That are 200 less.
Pardon?
There are designer hoodies and there's thrift hoodies. There's ones that are half the price.
Regardless, I want a costume set, not a single mix and match. That's very I want to be told what to do. Wait, no, I don't. I don't know anymore.
Noob's not regardless, a hipster on the inside, what he's saying.
Get better costumes so I can spend money on your game. I swear to God, the reason Guild Wars 2 would be one of the most successful games ever if there were better ranges and costumes. I'm saying that right now.
Fair enough. Other games I've been playing.
Yeah, okay.
I've been playing.
Okay, well, what else have you been playing? You said only Guild Wars.
Company of Heroes 2 came out this week.
Oh, holy shit! Crap. Yeah, that happened.
You play as Russians.
I didn't get to play it. Oh. I pre-ordered it. I pre-purchased it. The thing is,
you piece of shit. People in this
GameStop pre-purchased the game, but a lot of them canceled their pre-orders because some of them, the game didn't work on their game or on their computer, and they didn't like it. But I kept it on because like now that it's like cool to have this game and no one else has it, I thought it's like pretty cool to have it. But I had hit my internet cap. My bandwidth cap for my service provider literally the day before the preload, and I couldn't preload the game, so I had to wait until today to finally preload it.
The digital future is here, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I preloaded the game, but then I got distracted, alt-tabbed, and watched like a World War II documentary until now when we started recording this.
I have never had that happen where my internet said like, oh, you downloaded too much.
Oh, no, yeah. I page like $5 for gigabyte I went over.
Mm-hmm.
So
beyond that, like there are places in the world, much like Canada and some parts of Australia, where
Australia and Kenya and those sort of countries that
where like there aren't unlimited internet plans. Like in Sydney, that you can pretty much get an unlimited internet plan in most areas of Sydney, but outside of Sydney,
it's cynic. I got a friend in Perth who's like, hey, I can't play games because I can only use chat because I'm about to go over, like, I have an hour left or something of...
Yeah.
I have so much left. It's like, oh, crap.
I know. It's crazy. Like, I'm paying $60 a month for unlimited internet. And
wait, how much?
$60 a month.
Okay, I heard 16. I was like, oh, crap.
That would be insane. No, but $60 a month for unlimited internet, but that is not something every Australian can do.
For 250 gigabytes.
Yeah, see? And so digital future is fucking ages away. I just wanted to say that first. But... So, what happened to Company Heroes 2? What happened to Company... Why do people like it? Why is it...
So, they do like it. It's just very similar to Company of Heroes 1, other than a couple special mechanics. The engine's literally the same. It looks like the same game. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, because Company of Heroes 1 is a beautiful game. It's very detailed and things like that. Except the people look a bit weird. They're like soldier men.
Okay. Didn't that take like 50 years to make this game? Yeah.
Pardon?
I mean, like, yes, some of that was because, like, that, from what podcasts I've heard and what info I've heard, it's like they wanted to make, like, it's what the developers wanted to do versus what the publishers wanted them to do was, like, very, like, they wanted to do, like, you know, micro, like, DLCs instead of expansion sort of thing.
Yeah, so when the game came out, the amount of DLCs that were already out on the release day cost more than the game. Or at least it was like $45 or something ludicrous or something like that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't know why they chose the Soviet Union and Germany as their like second game of choice, because that thing was done by a very well-known mod for Company of Heroes 1 called the Eastern Front that completely covered all of that extremely well. And people who played the first Company of Heroes would have played that mod. And it just, it's a very similar game. I'm fine when like the core aspects of the game, like StarCraft, are stayed the same, but there's not enough new things to add into the mix. I think it would have been more interesting to do like the island hopping in Japan or something like that, where there's
Desert Rommel.
But that just tanks in an empty field.
You just described World of Tanks, one of the most successful games in the world.
It would be really cool if they could nail like, you know, mastering the tank, like, because Rommel was amazing at tanks.
I play tanks in Company of Heroes 2 or 1. And sort of getting into 2, but it just, at the same time, while it's the same game, I am just so fucking pissed off at that game on how different it is in terms of like the slight balancing difference. Like, for example, I think the Soviet Union's overpowered as fuck, but I'm a German player all the time, and just those little differences. So in the beta, there was this half track, which is basically
are you gonna go back to the one that was like, that was the flamethrower half track
or tank? And what it would do is it would zoom around the map at like superhuman speeds, shooting flames, instantly killing all the infantry units and light armor units in the map, and I loved it. And then they nerfed it to the point that you can spray an infantry unit for about a good 10 seconds and nothing will happen, simply because they nerfed the shit out of that game because the community is just bitching about it. Why can't the Relic hates Germans? I think that's just final. Relic hates Germany, and the Germans should, you know, file a complaint at the just putrid racism that Relic has been spewing towards.
Maybe it's not Relic. Maybe it's Sega, which, you know, it was Japanese.
I feel,
and they might be bitter about, like, you know, it's Germany not doing good in the war.
I need to put out front that we are not being serious. Our faces.
Speaking of Germans, Suki was occasionally back online, which was fun talking to him.
Awesome.
I still see Facebook updates from him once in a while.
I can't believe you call him a bit. But no, so
on the Giant Bomb Facebook, or not Giant Bomb. God damn.
Oh God, no. All right, moving on to what I've been playing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is anything else new, Bravo? Just Company Heroes 2, but not really.
It's a book. I like the book, but I will say beforehand. It's genuinely now one of my favorite books, and I think one of the best written books I've read. It's a part of a trilogy called the Liberation Trilogy, and it basically covers the Second World War in more or less an American point of view, from North Africa all the way to the invasion of Germany and the end of the Second World War in Europe. So it's purely European, but it's a very overhead view, so it's not like following specific soldiers throughout the war, but it does take like quotes from soldiers and even high ranking generals. And it uses like very vivid imagery, and just to the point that like you see maybe like three sentences of a person that is written about in the book, but you learn to care about that character, like what happens to the person, and like this sort of empathy for the soldiers who fought in the war. And it's like this sort of vivid imagery, and it is so well written. The final book first for some reason. It's called Guns at Last Light. And the first book is called Army at Dawn. And it's by Rick Atkinson. I highly recommend, if you're like slightly interested in history, to check it out. It is extremely readable. And like, even if you're not a history buff, it is just plain old good book.
Cool. Yeah. We'll have it in the show notes.
Yeah.
I'll put it. Yeah. Mine's less interesting. I've been playing Left 4 Dead 2 and delving into all that is like the mods and Steam Workshops.
Okay.
Oh, God. The fucking mutators on the Steam Workshop for that game are nuts. Played the one where that replaces all of the units or all of the special infected with hunters?
No. The three things I've
that sounds like
tried and not immediately uninstalled were, I've done the Helm's Deep like map, which actually it's really cool because it's the survival type, which is like, hey, we're just going to keep throwing guys at you until you die sort of thing. But it's one with a story and an ending. Like, it's you fight for, like, until you get the bronze medal, and then you have to fall back to the next area.
Right.
And then you fight, like, and then so on and so forth until, like, I think 15 minutes in or something. It's not that long, but it's, you die, like, at 4 minutes every time.
Right.
But it's the story of Helm's Deep from the, you know, from the movies with Gandalf and Gimli yeah. that has to be tossed. But sure. There's that. And then two actual like changes to every game was one that makes all the characters velociraptors.
Oh, God.
All right.
It's I don't know what more to say about that.
Wait, like, is it fun?
Yeah.
OK.
I mean, it's like there it's like you there's still the voices and all that, but it's like graphically both.
Wait, this what do you mean by there's still the voices and all that?
There's the voices of like Nick like, and Rochelle and Ellis.
Does
and
the velociraptors' mouths move when they speak?
I'm not sure, but I think so.
They're probably static.
Still, that's pretty cool.
I am imagining velociraptors talking in some form and their mouths moving right now.
That sounds great. That sounds fantastic. But I don't know. I'm not sure if that's how it is.
You guys in Skypes so you can laugh at this. No, but like it's cool because not only is it like it's a biped, you know, velociraptor with like the tail that sometimes wiggles, but then like the screen is also he's got like two claws and he's holding the gun and he reloads it with the two like the two, you know, clawed hands. And it's awesome. And then the other thing.
Oh, so you actually have weapons and backpacks. This is weird.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's awesomely weird. The other thing that makes you feel like a really terrible person, but I laugh every time and I always attract the witch, is one called Whitney Houston.
Oh.
Oh, God.
I'm shaking my head again. This is the most I've shaken my head on this podcast.
It's so great.
Sounds
it's
terrible.
Like you're creeping around, and then around a corner, you hear just, like, the very soft, like, it's her singing, I Will Always Love You. And it's, like, three different lines of just, like, her, like, you know, setting up. And then, of course, once you piss her off, she just goes into the full thing, like, and I'm always love you. Just clawing you to death.
Is she crying while she's singing it? And all of a sudden, yes. She's like, I will always love you. And then run right towards you. I mean, that would be awesome.
It's. I can link you a video after. Actually, I'll just. Yeah, that'll be my plug.
Wait, so
Witch Houston.
The way I'm imagining it is, instead of like a witch crying in the distance, you just hear the slow starting notes of "I Will Love."
It's both.
Awesome.
She's crying, but you also hear like
"Love You,"
like that.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure.
That's an exact. It's you know verbatim. Nice going there.
Uh huh.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
I'd like to recommend you one. There's one that entirely replaces the regular infected into special infected. So there's no regular infected. Instead, there's like triple or quadruple the number of special infected. And playing with your friends, it is so fucking fun.
Well, yeah, I've heard of the, like, there's the mod that was public, what's it called? The mutation. Is the word I'm looking for. There's a mutation where it's like there's no normal infected, and it's just you alone versus whatever special infected come up. And it's very much like that's how you get good for surviving against hunters, is you get to play this whole, like, you know, dodge the bull charging you thing. Same with the charger, too, I guess.
Oh, that is great. That is absolutely great.
It's such a good video. You guys get to check this out. It's like a minute long.
What's happening?
It's in the link description.
Okay.
But anyway...
it's great. Left 4 Dead still holds up thanks to its community, basically.
Yeah,
it's and also very easy to set that stuff up.
Yes.
Even the old Dnipper mod that I talked about a couple of many podcasts ago now, but like that and the Helm's Deep, like the full maps, even like along with special like you know UI changes, you just open up the game and go to add-on, and it's a very smooth transition of like like Steam overlay kicks in, and then you just like say subscribe, and it will automatically start downloading.
Yeah, it's great.
And we'll automatically update whenever you open the game again. It's an old game. I know I talk a lot about it, but like along the same lines of I'll steal what like Brad Muir talked about is like cooperative games are really fun because you get that whole like the League of Legends or like the Dota you know, thing of like five teams versus five teams, but it's. You versus like a person that you're okay, like they're okay losing because they're a computer.
Right.
Until Skynet comes live and is really pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Gets competitive. Yeah, but like, just a word of warning, you do have to wade through the crap to get to the diamond and the crap. There's a lot of crap on that workshop.
Yeah.
Especially for Left 4 Dead 2. It's just like weird stuff like, I've replaced the medkit skin with Sonic. And it's just weird, weird thing. That, why does this exist?
You, and there's a big push for both The Walking Dead stuff,
yeah,
like skins for like characters, as well as Resident Evil, and they're like vying for attention over this like well crafted stuff.
And there's like weird anime ones that replaces everything with anime girls. Like, what the fuck?
I'm not surprised at all by the
existence of that stuff. So I guess
Hold on, don't act like you don't like it.
I don't use it. Oh, but
it's an old game, but I've been playing. Hotline Miami.
Oh, cool.
Oh, hold on. Liking it.
It's just, again, a lot of people have said it. I'll say it as well. Soundtrack is awesome. Mm-hmm. I almost want to say, like, I've tried listening to it outside of the soundtrack or outside of the game, and it's definitely much better in the game.
Yeah,
I haven't done
that.
Like, I've only listened to it once, and therefore I want to go to bed. Yeah.
So you're saying like the visual light cues in the game really lead towards the sound that you play, or the graphics really amplify the music or anything like that, or
Just the whole massacre element of it, of like, okay, this is a puzzle game. This is trying to master, like, you know, making my right hand work the mouse in the way that, like, because very often I would like move the mouse way far to the right, and then when I need to look to the left, I'd like, oh crap, I'm not centered. Which I think that's part of the puzzle element, unless like an annoying game design.
Well, I'm waiting for that to come to the Vita, because it looks like a game that would play well with two sticks. That sounds it would be fine.
It's probably really good with controller support, because you don't have that mouse issue.
Yeah, exactly. But I think like the reason the music works better in the game is because the aesthetic plays a lot into it, because the game looks like an 80s or whatever is that kind of time period.
Well, and something I didn't realize, but it's like, it's not one person. It is like handcrafted. Like,
yeah,
this guy does this song, this other guy does this other song, and
it's a collaboration
designed for levels. So which is really cool.
Or picked. I think it went the other way around. I think he looked at a bunch of like crowdsourced, not community sources. A bunch of different people were making music already, and I think he just picked tracks that he liked that fits his level. So I don't think any of it was custom, or much of it was custom written for the game, but a lot of it is really good. So it just fits anyway.
It might as well be custom written if he's like choosing it through a long list. And I would actually say, don't get it right now. Wait like a week, because the Steam summer sale is way overdue.
Oh God.
Yeah, it is.
And it's going to be super cheap, and they're going to take all of our monies.
Not mine. I didn't buy a single thing last time.
You're losing money by doing that.
Well, have you bought / played recently? Self-confessed cynic.
I think we should go. Actually, yeah, I'll go first, because Squids is probably more interesting.
No Last of Us.
I haven't played any Last of Us this week, because I got that out of my system last week. But even though I did. Okay, first I'm going to talk about the movie I watched. Superman.
Please don't. Oh, God.
That Superman movie.
Yes, try not to be mean.
Does he fly around the world and change time backwards?
Does he pull from his like outfit the S and wrap the guy in it?
No, it's like it's real gritty Superman.
It's not that either. It's not gritty. All right. So Matthew Rory
is on the kryptonite
side. I'd just like to say
Zack Snyder is shit.
In last week's Giant Bomb unnamed movie podcast, they talked about Superman, and I haven't always agreed. Okay,
it's a bummer that's subscriber only, but I will anyway. Continue.
Yeah, it is subscriber only, but hey, it's a reason to subscribe.
You could watch the Half in the Bag reviews by Red Letter Media instead.
It's true.
I
don't always agree with Rory, but I think that I entirely agree with him when it comes to this movie. To some extent, I think I liked it less than he did. His review of the movie is, it's not the best movie he's seen this year, but it's not the worst movie he's seen this year. For me, it is the worst movie I've seen this year, but that's because I've only seen very good movies. Like, it's not really like fair. I haven't seen that many, and the ones I have seen have been pretty good. But in the way that... So... It feels like, and I'm doing it with my hands, I'm not sure if you guys can see the stream, but movie plots have gone like this, whilst gaming plots have gone like this. And at some point they intersected, and now games have better plots than movies. It's weird. It's so, like,
again, just narrating for the people. Movie plots have gone downhill, while game plots have gone uphill, yes. Intersectingly.
Yeah, and TV games and TV graph. Have gotten better, and it seems like movies have to do more nowadays to impress me. Because like you have shows like Breaking Bad, what's his face, the good one, Mad Men, Game of Thrones, 24, like up there with greats such as Breaking Bad and Mad Men.
Dude, 24 is great. You shut your face.
No, I love 24. I just don't think it's well written at all.
It's great. It's great.
Jack Bauer is in the new Metal Gear Solid.
Yes, he is.
24 next year.
But yeah, so Superman lacks any form of self-justification for its existence or internal logic whatsoever, or characters that are even remotely realistic, or like set pieces that are... There is one good set piece in that movie, and it's got to do with a weird like you have Zod, right? And it's no surprise that Zod is in the movie, he's in all the ads, but like the original movie with Zod in it, he has a retinue, and one of his retinues, like people, is like his lieutenant or whatever, it's a chick, a female Kryptonian, and she's the only like interesting thing aside from Russell Crowe in that movie. Like there's only two good characters in the Superman movie: Jor-El, Superman's father, and one of the enemies who isn't even the main enemy in the movie. Like it is like, what is even happening? The movie starts better than it ends. The movie just starts with people on Krypton fighting, and that was awesome, but they were fighting with guns. It was like, what? It was more Avatar at the start of the movie than it was Superman, and it was awesome.
Like, did it seem like they were trying to do the Dark Knight, like most of the way?
No,
through the film?
Russell Crowe really? Jumps on a dragon with four wings and flies Earth. Around
when,
at the start
when
of that movie.
Clark Kent gets to Earth. Does it become Dark Knight?
No, you don't really see too much of it. Like, there's not. I don't want to spoil, aside from the fact that I told you what's at the start of the movie, but they don't go too much into his childhood. It's more
I mean, just his character isn't gritty and realistic.
He's like, he wants to help people all the time. He, at one point, he says the words, I was raised in Kansas. I'm as American as can be. Does that sound like Dark Knight level grittiness? No.
Is he more reboot Captain Kirk than Dark Knight is? I mean, would you compare the same?
Kirk and Spock in the reboots have more depth than Superman does in this movie.
Oh, okay.
Like, his character is, I like helping people. That's it. That is the start and finish of his character. He has no development in the movie, aside from, I'm a dude who has superpowers, likes helping people, to, I'm a dude who has a suit and knows where his background is, and has superpowers and likes helping people. That is the development in the movie. That's it. That's the only... Oh, God. I can't spoil, like, the one thing that maybe does change his character a little bit at the end of the movie, but the way it happens is so laughably dumb that I was trying not to crack up, because I was in a theater with some people seemed like they were being entertained. It was one of those movies where the movie credits start and then half the audience just gets up and walks out. Like, no one stayed for the credits. It was just like,
I am Dudley Do-Right. I will save Nell from the train tracks.
No, wait, people actually sit and watch credits? I never understood
that. Oh, here well, it's pretty... Especially when the dating movie comes out. Yeah.
Well, no, especially for comic book movies.
Yeah for the
you
end.
You
want
to stay at the end.
Well,
like, especially with Marvel ones, they always have stuff at the end of it. But hey, Superman is a comic book movie. You might want to stay to the end, even if it's live action.
Well, to be fair, I looked up on the net beforehand to check if there's anything off the credits. There isn't anything off the credits in Superman. Apparently that's a Marvel thing. But, for most times when a movie comes out day one in Australia, at least to the cinema I go to, which is Parramatta Event Cinema, so not even like that big a fucking like highbrow cinema or anything like that, but people tend to stay for a while after when a movie ends, and they just like soak in the credits, and then usually they leave the lights dark for longer and then bring it up slowly. This one, the lights just switched on, everyone just walked out. It was the last session of the day. It was like 8:30 at night, finished at like 11:30. But anyway, it just got the feeling for, like, some people walked out saying, that was the best movie I've ever seen. And I was just standing there going, what? How have you seen like two movies, one of which was Bambi and the other one was this? What the fuck is what?
Well, I'm curious.
They would not say that if they seen Bambi.
Bambi was pretty
Bambi
good.
Bambi was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I'll give you the Bambi was pretty good. I'm sorry.
You always like to reference one of your favorite YouTube news guys of the gaming scene is
Angry Joe. Yep, he loved it.
He's got a Superman shirt on all the time.
He loved it. And bless him. I will not look down upon you for liking this movie, because bless your little heart. But if you have any sense of quality,
it seems like you're looking down on me while talking to me.
If you have any sense of quality, you will come into this movie. Like I watch all comic book movies, or try to watch all comic book movies. So I was going to watch this inevitably anyway. But come into it knowing that it isn't the Superman movie it could have been.
What are you going to be seeing first? Assuming they come out the same weekend in Australia, because they do in the U.S., RIPD or the Red 2, because they're both comic book movies.
I didn't even see Red 1, did you? I love Red 1. It was great.
Red 1 is awesome.
I think it was great.
The Red 1 is with what's its face?
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer.
It was dumb fun.
John Malkovich. You know, when you see those YouTube advertisements, you just fucking skip over them. But when that trailer came up, I actually that was the first time I sat through a YouTube advertisement.
Yeah,
I've never seen John Malkovich in a better role in a long time.
It's fun. He shoots a missile in midair with a revolver, and it it was great. It was a great movie.
No. He shoots a missile with a revolver in midair because someone called him an old man.
Oh,
I could dodge this, but no, I'm gonna shoot.
I'm just gonna shoot it.
It seems like a very Indiana Jones moment where I could see him doing the exact same thing.
It was great, but the flip side of that is RIPD is about two undead police officers or some shit like that.
They are dead. It's just it's the whole they're in the spirit realm, and the spirit realm is trying to cross over to the real realm.
It's murdered soul suspect the movie, but with two people. Right?
Oh god, I really hope murdered soul suspect is better than.
Wait, so you're saying when Jeff Bridges gets killed in the grid, he becomes an RIPD? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're saying.
To be fair, only because. We don't know if he's dead, because we don't know what happens when Jeff Bridges and Clued combine from the Tron.
They are
working on Tron 3.
Oh, yeah.
That is a thing. And I'm trying to think of what is a Tron without Jeff Bridges.
No, I think he'll be back. I bet. I'm imagining, right, the equivalent of the Mufasa cloud in Lion King, but Jeff Bridges' face.
So Jeff Bridges is the MCD, the master control. That is Jeff Bridges.
Welcome to the Leaky Cast, Giant Bomb Community's Guild Wars 2 movie cast.
Oh fuck! That would make my day. It would make my day if I saw Jeff Bridges in cloud form, or Agent Smith. Like he could be the Agent Smith in everything. Like just Jeff Bridges' face comes out. It'd be great. It'd be great.
But it would be like. It would be Tron Cloud, so it's all graphic-y and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then his voice goes robot-y halfway through.
And then there's a Microsoft logo right on his chest.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The cloud,
yeah, sure.
Oh, God, no.
Sure, yeah.
Product placement. That's what we're all about in movies nowadays.
Just end it on that.
Brought to you by Xbox. No, it's... So, watch Superman, but know going in that it's pretty. It's, oh man, that movie is not, but, okay, maybe my opinion is invalidated because I actually like Superman Returns. I like Superman as a character in a lot of cases, but, this is not. Anyway, moving on.
Did you ever watch the TV show? Back in the day, the original TV show that was done with Superman.
I love that TV show. I was a kid, but I love that TV show.
Okay, so you say the show is better than the movie, right?
Oh, shit, yeah. No, okay. The movie's actually got a lot of awesome production value to it. The opening is legitimately cool. Russell Crowe, Azrael, because they're all Kryptonians, and their son is dying, they're all weak. Right?
It is a Zack Snyder film. It's visually pretentious, yet everything else in it.
I think the opening was legitimately not emotional. Like, again, my standards are higher now after playing like Bioshock Infinite and The Last of Us. Like, I have a new standard for what good storytelling is in a visual medium. But
entertainment as well. I would say entertainment as well.
Yeah, and but like, so the opening is a decent effort at being emotional, and but the graphics are legitimately cool, and the stuff that happens is legitimately cool, and they do stuff with the characters that it wasn't expecting, and but then the moment it becomes a Superman movie instead of like a I covered my microphone.
Go with it. Audio podcast. Audio.
The moment it becomes a Superman movie is the moment that it no longer being even remotely interesting. Even though I really like Superman.
What's their kryptonite?
I can't say one way or the other. Because it would be a spoiler if I say...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What? Squiddle. Are you guys going to watch it? Are you guys going to watch it at all? Like, I don't know.
No.
Okay.
Maybe on Netflix, because...
Yeah, when it comes on Netflix,
Some of the reviews are really positive. Like, IGN, for some ungodly reason, gave it 9 out of 10. And I have, like, no idea what headspace you have to be in. I'm going to watch Angry Joe's video about it just to see why he liked it. Because I can't, for the love... oh, God, I cannot. Anyway.
I don't understand why you like that guy so. I think he's kind of a
think he's great.
I don't know.
I appreciate his reviews because he does them in a very, like, very professional format and gives valid reasons for games. Other than that, he's starting to wear.
I like his passion, man. I like hip hop gamer.
Shtick. Just become Joe. Joe reviews.
Okay, so Rotten Tomato gives it a 56.
That's about
and
right.
Let's see. Hold on. The 1978 version, they give a 93.
Yeah, that's about right.
They didn't have computer graphics back then.
Yeah. But I would say about half the people would like Superman Returns, and anyone with a brain wouldn't. No, sorry, I'm going to take that back.
Anything else you've been playing this week before the entire internet goes against you?
Wait, Cynic, that doesn't make sense. If half the people like it, but people with brains wouldn't like it, and all people have brains, that would
be... All right, here's what we got to do. We got to get 50 people with brains and 50 people without brains, and we'll all have them watch the movie.
But if they're dead, they can't like it. Sure. You can't. Why don't?
Haven't you seen Murder and Soul Suspect? I'm pretty sure ghosts don't have brains.
Anything else, Senor?
Okay, so after coming off the game, which we talked about extensively last week, I had some big balls on me going. I played that game and I wasn't scared at all. I wasn't scared at all by The Last of Us. I found it a fantastic game. So I was like, okay, there's a game which I started and couldn't finish because it terrified the shit out of me, which was Dead Space 1. And so I went back to Dead Space 1.
Nothing wrong with being scared of a scary game.
Yeah, I went back to Dead Space 1. Trades in a type of scary I cannot get behind. A, because it works incredibly well on me. And B, because it requires no effort whatsoever. It is a jump scare game. It is jump scares the game.
Well, people are like, oh, when things jump out, it's kind of boring. Like, what are you talking about? That shit is scary. When things go peekaboo out of the dark, I shit my pants.
And even beyond that, like the music stings they use are just like ridiculous and happen for no reason. Like, I'm breaking a box and suddenly the music goes crazy. And I go, and it was just a box. I just broke a box with my foot. God damn it! Yeah.
Two things. One, a lot of people say that it's not as scary as most horror games because of the element of you have guns.
You're really
time.
Powerful.
Is a shooter.
Really strong.
So anything scary, you just shoot it. The one thing I will say, the scariest thing in a game for me that still like it's why I've memorized the levels with them and then just freaking just fly through them is the black headcrabs in Half-Life.
Okay.
Because they're fast.
No, it's because of what they do, and it's because of what like the sound of them coming,
right?
And that is when they do one attack, they will reduce you from whatever health you have to one hit point, which means their next attack is going to like it will probably kill you, or at least something nearby will kill you.
So that's the thing, right? Like that's a legitimate gameplay reason to be scared as well, right?
No. Okay, so yeah, there's that whole thing, but then the sound that they make before they attack or when they're near you or when they're pissed off or anything is a rattlesnake. No, it's a rattlesnake. So you hear the and like
I don't. Okay, are you saying Half-Life 2 or Half-Life 1? Because I don't remember Half-Life 1 that happening.
It's
Half-Life 2.
Half-Life 2.
Okay. Whenever I say Half-Life, I reference Half-Life.
Yeah, he means 2.
Forgive me. I guess I'm older than most of the gamers.
I played Half-Life original.
Yeah.
People do say like, hey, you know, it sort of ruins the scariness of a game when you can shoot in the face. But I am such a fucking I have no common sense to the point I can be carrying a gun like a rocket launcher.
Exactly.
A tiny thing pops up. I literally had this experience where I ran into the nearest closet and closed the door. Not in real life, but in the game.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't. It didn't register into the mind that I could kill it because I thought it was going to be.
But it's not that, right?
So I played through Dead Space. What you're saying is you're a noob.
I'm a noob.
So
in fact, I argue I'm a noob-o-rama.
Nice.
You get it? Because my name is Dubarama.
So I got through as much of the game as I could whilst living through those jump scares. And I didn't die a single time. In fact, I don't think I went below half health. I was playing a normal, and I don't really ever even went past half health. I just blew everything. But the stupidest little things would be jump scares. Like you walking into this area which is like a high plant area. What's the name? Hypochondriac. Anyway,
I have to wash my hands.
It's the equivalent of a greenhouse area, right? So you walk into this greenhouse area, and you're walking past the thing, and then just like these watering spouts turned on. Like just like the equivalent of showers, they just look like shower heads turn on, but they make like the hugest sound that blasts into your headphones. It's like, and I'm like, oh god! And just turn around, it's just fucking water spraying on plants. It's just the stupidest shit in that game. But they used
hydroponics.
Hydroponics. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys have played this. It's a mod for Half-Life called Half-Life 1 called Cry of Fear, and it's a co-op multiplayer, right? And the thing is, like, oh, it's a multiplayer game. Me and my friend are just going to laugh, joke around. What the fuck? Whoever cares?
Folks who may be subscribers to the Giant Bomb, the premium members, have seen or can watch videos on demand of this on Unprofessional Fridays.
Uh-huh.
And it's hilarious.
It is great.
I saw videos of it and I laughed my ass off.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm like, this is a silly fucking game. It's going to be just hilarious. If you are playing that game.
Well, no, I really think it is. It's two friends who are laughing all the while screaming in terror. And
That's what it was. It's the simplest things where I'm just like walking around and then it's like an event. And of course, you turn the corner and there's things. Just this ugly motherfucker.
But are you playing the single player or the multiplayer? Because the multiplayer is different.
With corrupt friends, just discussing like random stuff to get my mind off of it. And yet I'm just. Every time I turn a corner, I am screaming to the point that my friend had to tell me to shut the fuck up because his ears started hurting.
But it's the whole like, oh, there's a board off, like, you know, there's this wall with like or door with chains, and like I know as soon as I walk away from it, this door is gonna just disappear, and a giant creepy guy is gonna like just run through there and chase me down, which happens. But he runs so fast, and his animation is so just like out there and just crazy. Mm. It's scary. While you're laughing and screaming and crying, and everything. It's pretty great.
There was just one part where I was just climbing up a stairwell, and it collapses in the bottom, and there I just fall into this like disfigured face of a female monster, and I lost it. I could not stop screaming for 5 seconds. It was one of the scariest moments of my life, and. I found it enjoyable. It's just like fun stuff like that.
It's great. I can much more easily visualize you screaming in terror than I can Cynic crying over like The Last of Us.
Oh yeah,
it's weird.
But so back to Dead Space. So I played most of that game, and unlike Noob, where you just get like where you'd be like and then you laugh because you're happy about it. I went,
I
oh god,
I laugh,
and then.
I laugh. to make myself seem normal when I'm still dying inside.
Well, I just got really angry because I was just like, that was just not even, you bastards, you just did that. And there was no, you did not earn it at all. You just used music to scare me and I just got fucking pissed and I watched the rest of the game on YouTube. And then I started watching Dead Space 2 on YouTube and I'm just like, I don't care. I'm not giving them my money. Fuck those gays. Fuck that shit. Well, I already bought Dead Space 1. But I only played for half of it, so whatever. But no, that game has the worst plot in the world. like what the fuck? Like that whole ending was telegraphed from the start of the game. The Markerstorff. I'm sorry for spoilers, but this is like a 50-year-old game now. The Markerstorff at the end of that game is just stupid. And
I mean, it's
so. What one question? Did the end, the final thing, did it do anything for you?
What the jump scare with her, like the final
point.
It didn't do something for me. It made me angry. Again, it didn't earn that at all. It just gamer.
I'm just gonna go bullshit on that because that was a pivotal point for me. I absolutely loved that ending.
I hated it. I thought it was dumb. I thought it was dumb as fuck. I wasn't playing at the time because I was watching it. It still worked on me. I was like, oh fuck! But it was that was dumb. That's all I can say.
This just makes me more excited for Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs, and hopefully I'll be able to immerse myself in that instead of my bunny hopping escapades in The Dark Descent.
But I
booted up that game, found out it was really dark when I started, and I closed it. I am just scared of the dark to even begin with. Like, you're a person who gets scared of things. Like, Diablo 2 scared the shit out of me because there were moments in the game where it was just dark. And there's, like, scary music. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking die. I'm going to leave this dungeon.
I heard Diablo 2 was scary because it had Mormons in the game.
What?
And I was it's kind of scary, I guess. Moments in the game. Okay.
No. Moments where it was dark.
Oh, moments, not Mormon. Okay, I get it.
Diablo takes place in Utah. Okay.
They're all trying to convert me. I don't know what's going on here.
So many watchtowers.
So lessons of the day. Noob is the scariest of all of us.
Scariest.
Lesson number two.
I get easily taken over by emotions. I cry real easily during movies. I get scared real easily.
Yeah.
Lesson
number two. Noob
is the least scared with his emotions. I tend to just like do very dumb things when scared.
Nice.
It's like, oh, it's a scary moment. I'm just going to jump crouch through this hallway and let things stay. Like, walk straight to the monster of like, hey, what's up, buddy? And then he'll kill me, and then I won't be like, all right, now I know what I'm up against.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, after the first time I hit one of those moments, I'd never died, right? But if I was going back through an area, or if I met a monster for a second time, because there's a couple of monsters that are recurring in Dead Space 1, I would just be like, whatever, man. I'm just not scared at all. Like, so the second lesson is today is, games need to find out how to be scary that doesn't require jump scares. Because jump scares are cheap and bullshit, but... But they're cheap and bullshit.
Have you played Limbo?
No, I haven't played Limbo. I'm waiting for it to come to Vita, but yeah. Sorry?
The idea of little boys getting killed by spiders, some found that creepy. I don't know what's creepy about that.
Sure.
I will go back to... You want a game that's scary without jump scares.
Yeah.
That is where
Amnesia,
cues. Well, that's where audio cues and the whole thing I've always been talking about is that's where the game resonates. If you have good audio in the game, that will scare you more than a boogeyman jumping out of a corner.
Right.
You know, you could see a guy walking across the screen and then like a violin hitting a high E note.
Yeah.
Shrieking. But if you don't see him and you hear that, that will scare you more.
Yeah, I agree.
Than the visual aspect of whatever.
Movies learned that many, many years ago. But it seems like games are still catching up. Except for, like, the problem is, if I was more terrified of zombies, I probably would have found The Last of Us terrifying. And a lot of people do, apparently. Like, if you look at, like, Twitter commentary around that game, it was supposedly terrifying for a lot of people. I don't find that scary at all. But that is how I want a game to do it. That game didn't have a single jump scare, but it scared half the people who played it.
Do you guys know the game SCP Containment Breach?
No.
Or of it? Apparently it is argued by some to be the scariest game.
Cool.
And how do you spell it?
SCP Containment Breach. I do know I know someone who does voice acting for that game. That's why I know of it. Nice. But apparently it is amazingly scary, and that's why I haven't touched it yet. But I do want to one day, like we Cynic or any of us, we should do like
we should
bring back that pigeon thing and then do this instead.
Yeah.
Cynic, what also you might want to keep on your radar is there's like the procedurally generated horror film or horror game that is Outlast,
Daylight.
I think.
Daylight. Oh. Was it Daylight or Outlast? It was one of the two. I forgot which one.
I don't look at both of my guests. But no,
they were announced at the same time, but yeah.
From what I've heard, it's like everybody on the team is like combined between all of their collections. They have every horror movie like known to man.
Nice.
At least in like English, I guess. But the other one is a game that it was the like one of the first to come out on Steam or be approved on Steam Greenlight, and a trailer has come out called Routine, which... it's you walking around on a lunar base.
Okay.
Like, so it's a lot like sort of like the
like Moon. Is it like Moon?
No, Moon? I don't think it's like
Moon.
Moon
wasn't supposed to be scary, right? Moon was just like a really great movie.
Yeah, it seems a lot like Dead Space. Dead Space 1, where you're walking around like the shuttle in a foreign place, but there's not monsters. It's from what I've seen, it's like robots.
Desmond 1 got so bad that I was like, oh yeah, I was having a running bet of when are they just going to use a fucking cat? When's a cat going to jump out of a fucking... It was that bad. It was like how off-the-shelf, crappy, derivative, jump-scare bullshit that game was to me. But
what's really cool and it's, I guess, I'm hopeful for, I don't know what the right word is for this, but it's what brief scares you get from the trailer... they all come from like sound cues, more things. And it's more like you, like the guy checks around the corner, he doesn't see anything. He starts doing something on like a computer, and then he hears something. And then he checks the corner again, and he sees something like, you know, turn a corner far down the hallway. And he's like, oh crap, gotta get behind a corner and hide. So
on this note, like Slender Man scares the shit out of me.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know.
Slender Man's a jump scare.
Yeah, it is a jump scare. Like literally, you turn around, and he's there, and it's one of those games where I play. If I played it, I've only ever watched him Slender Man, but I have that transferable level of fear. When they turn around, the Slender Man, I jump, and then I'm just angry. But so, I think Amnesia, right? That's the one you go. That doesn't have jump scares, does it? I thought it was just like overall creepy. Okay.
It has some, but the majority of it is just like overall creepy or like the. It's what jump scare. There's not jump scares. There's like scripted jump events.
Right. And then there's Machine for Pigs, which is what they're putting out next. I might check that out when that comes out.
Which is slated for Q1 of 2013. Wait, what?
Wait, Q14?
So is it late?
No.
2014.
It's late.
It was slated for Q1 of 2013 because it showed up on the giant bomb like coming out this week.
And so this, well, they're taking longer. No. That's fine. Yeah.
They're still working on that.
But until then, I think I'm scary gamed out. I'll just be watching like the rest of Dead Space on YouTube because I've heard the ending of 3 is absolutely hilarious. So I'm waiting for that. Just in like a bad movie kind of way. I like watching some bad movies, so I'm going to watch Dead Space because it's that level of terrible.
I'll put it this way. I've played 1 and 2, and I got 3 because of the gigantic fuck-up that EA did with...
you got it for free?
Sims, the Sims game.
Yeah.
Or the Sims, I guess you call it Sim City Sim game. City,
yeah,
yeah. And I will. I have no care to play that game.
Yeah, I'm just gonna watch it.
I'm happy. I am happy with the way that 2 ended, and I don't want to be disappointed. I guess it's very similar to the people that played Mass Effect 3 and were disappointed in the ending.
Yeah, like to some extent, I wish I never watched the third Batman movie. It's the same thing. Like you just sometimes you.
I like the third Batman movie.
It was okay at best. No,
was that the one with Robin and
yes?
No, Penguin was 2.
Oh, no, oh God!
Bane?
Nice, good job, good job, Thelton. You got me with that one. Well done. No, to some extent, like I'm worried, for example, about Last of Us 2 because it'll invalidate some of the reasons I like The Last of Us 1. There's sometimes you just don't want the rest of the story because you want
that. Like, and the joke something. Title would be The Lastest of Us.
Yeah. It's just yes. Like, fuck you.
I mean, how do you do The Last of Us and have 2 people?
Exactly right. But they're going to do it.
Come on.
They're going to do it because it's selling like crazy. But I feel sad for the inevitability of that.
What if they do Last of Us and then make it into a movie and that is 2?
I don't know. I'm sure
I would be cool with that. It's something Naughty Dog could, like, I don't know if this is in their wheelhouse of stuff to do, but if they did like Last of Us vignettes of...
Oh,
like it's taking that whole like other stories in the world. It's yeah. it's stuff that we want to. It's we don't want to see any more of Joel and Ellie.
We shouldn't see any more of them. Yeah. I agree.
Oh God, I'm awesome. So anyway. I read off the ending of Last of Us.
No precursors or anything.
I just yeah. Have you finished the game, Cynic?
I cannot believe you're asking me that question. I
Rama, of course you're subscribed to the Leaky Cast at iTunes. And they've done a spoiler cast lasting 2.5 hours.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like I'm not a fan of the ending of that game.
It ends perfectly. That's why the fact that you Moving can on, have that status Squiddle, is why it's awesome.
Hi, how's
up, Squiddle?
Hi, or I should say, arr, how you be doing tonight?
I be doing.
I am doing good.
Tell me, there, Squiddle, is there anything you've been up to lately? Video games? Any reading?
Oh, I've not been doing too much. I mean, I played a little bit of Psychonauts I had never played before. Oh, thanks to Thurbleton. Cool. He has turned me onto that game. And it Mr. is a Watson very great game. I played at least 20 minutes of it, and I am stuck, and I want to play it again.
Now, like, initial impressions of, like, just like the art style, what'd you think of that?
I really liked... the art style got me because it was kind of like a retro art style. I enjoyed that.
I don't want to say art style, but, like, that's the method... Double Fine uses for, like, they use that art style to help give emotion to the characters.
Well, right. And so when I first started, I'm like, it's character. So the start menu, you're standing on this, like, planet type thing, and you run around in a circle, and then all of a sudden you start the game. It's not like, you know, start the game, press start. It's kind of like you have to maneuver your character over to the area and then start the game.
That's not a planet. That's a giant brain station.
Oh, giant brain. Okay, I... apologize.
And you go to the part of the brain where the entrance is.
Man, I don't like that game at all. Does that make you a bad person? Does that make me a bad person? I don't know.
Yes, it does.
Apparently it does. Yes. I thought it was...
Well, it makes you a bad person because somewhere Brad Mir is not smiling right now.
Yeah.
I haven't played much of it. Like I played to the point to where I'm in the starting area. You exit the cabin that you're staying in, and you're in the camp grounds area.
But like, have you done the psychic boot camp?
Yeah, I watched the video on, like, the boot camp people that showed up, and the soldier dude that's kind of like, I'm going to take these kids and mold them into my image type thing, you know? And after that, I haven't played much of it, but I really enjoyed, like, I really grew close to the characters that were there, just watching the cutscenes, because I really haven't played much of it, and then I ran around for a little bit, and that was about it. But I'm hoping to get more into it next week.
Why have you not finished Dust and Legion Tale? I need someone to tell me if that game is any good.
Because he's been working like a madman.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let me explain. Work is here, and my hand is above my other hand to people who aren't able to see. And, gaming is down here, unfortunately, at this point.
Fair. There's things between gaming and work called sleep and food.
Yes.
And beer. You beer, lazy beer guy. Awesome. Well, actually... New Brahma is employed. The only person who's not employed is
me.
You, Cynic.
Yep. It's true. It's true.
Bum.
Oh, no. All I'm right. no longer employed.
There we go. But he's at school. He has an excuse. He has school, right? I don't have any excuse.
Yeah.
But yes.
Not anymore. Not anymore. I don't have school anymore.
Summer break. That's why I started playing Guild Wars. You were just really
that's
bored.
That's exactly why I started playing Guild Wars.
Hey, hey, noob, congratulations, all right? You don't have to do shit for the next couple months and be happy about that.
Really enjoy this time. Like, just do as much as you can to not do anything.
I do get to go to Boston, and I do have a little bit of schoolwork here and there. But that's all right.
You should down Shinboy and just, like, give him a hug and take a picture.
Shinboy doesn't live in Boston.
Close. He's near Boston.
Probably like a four hour train ride. I think.
He's a lot closer. When you're in Boston, you'll be a lot closer to him there than you would be
at any other time in your life.
Canada, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, I believe this is rounded off the Lincoln Cast episode 49. Just go around the table. It's New Brahma. Any final words before we go to plugs? Or plugs?
There once was a man. Okay, I don't know. Plugs. Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub. Tomorrow we're doing, like, for example, we're not just doing games anymore. We're doing, like, a group movie watch thing where we watch really shitty movies, like funny bad movies.
I have a suggestion for a shitty movie.
We're watching Miami.
Birdemic.
Watching Miami Connection. If anyone's ever heard of that, tomorrow. We do this every week. If you want to watch weird, funny movies with, like, Russians, Germans, Swedish people.
Which, just a reminder to folks, as cool as it is to join, like, hook up with the PC Gaming Hub and all that, the movie night will have already happened.
Oh, yeah.
By the time you're listening to this.
Yes. Yeah. This today is the 20-somethingth of June.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if anyone's if anyone's hanging around Canada Day, Toronto, Ontario, come see me.
Yes, Canada Day. All right. Self-confessed cynic. What you got?
Oh, God.
Oh, right. And that book.
Oh, yeah.
That last night.
The World War II book.
Yes, Rick Atkins.
As for me, do I have any plugs? I have, again, I was planning to plug that user at the end, but it was a good moment to plug it in the middle. Aside from that, not much, man. Not much. I've been watching Jesse Cox's playthrough of Dead Space for anyone interested, so I'll just chuck that in at the...
So we should play Guild Wars together.
We should play Guild Wars together. I don't know.
Because there's no one's ever willing to do any dungeons, like story mode dungeons. It's shit.
It's because I've done them already.
They need a dungeon finder. Like, fuck, no one will ever do a raw with me.
That is like a
www.gw2lfg.com.
There you go. That's all right. I'll tell you that as my plug. gw2lfg.com.
Oh, I don't want
to. Looking for groups and Guild Wars.
I don't want to have to go on a website to find, to find my soulmate. I want to do it in game. Okay? I don't want to have to alt tab out of Guild Wars.
Squiddle, what plugs you got for us, sir?
Not much. The only thing I have is, as Deacon takes Bolt by the hand and goes down towards the mountain from the misty tops, he looks towards the Reaver's eyes and stares at him with a cold stare and looks and says, "I will kill you with Bolt in hand, for I have crafted it from the mountains up high.
Daddy!
You are now to die."
What the fuck just happened?
I don't know, but deep down, it's like when he did that whole setup, I really wanted to say, "I'm on TV."
I'm on TV.
Twitch.com.
It's Twitch.tv, damn it! Oh, God, isn't it? Let me check. I'm pretty sure it's Twitch.tv.
It's Twitch.tv.
Yeah.
You were correct. Yeah. And I guess my plug will again be, hold out for the Steam Summer Sale and pick up some old games, like, you know, Left 4 Dead 2 and get Whitney Houston.
Oh, Swiddle does have a plug. It's The Moon. It's actually a really great movie. Really fucking good. Oh,
yeah,
just Moon.
It's a moon. It's a moon. Yeah.
I thought he was plugging The Moon.
God damn.
Hey, guys, if it's nighttime when you're listening to this, look outside.
Neil deGrasse Tyson had a fantastic image. If you look at
Tyson is a fucking badass.
He posted on Twitter a fantastic image, which was like the normal moon next to the super moon, and it was just the same image copy paste.
It's like, slightly bigger, slightly enlarged, maybe like a zoomed in picture. That was it.
So good.
Super moon.
That's how I like to think of myself on a Saturday night.
Nice.
Large?
No, he wishes he was Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's what he's saying. Is what he's saying.
I guess if you do like the documentary The Moon and Are Into Space and all that, a neat plug is there's a Kickstarter that's already ended, not plugging the Kickstarter, but you can, I'm sure I've already talked about this on the podcast before, a company called, I want to say like Orbital Resources or something. Really, if you just look up crowdfunded space telescope, they have got the money and they're like, as soon as next year when we'll start to see return on this, they are putting a telescope in orbit for people to, like, for schools, universities, and all that to use at various times to look outside of the atmosphere, which greatly improves your ability to look across, you know, the galaxy.
Cool.
And universe. Yeah.
And I would like to plug, of course, Thurbleton talked about this earlier, a Massive Chalice got its backing. So, you know, claps to them.
Yay!
Awesome. But also on their site, you can go there. If you were a slacker and did not get to the first Kickstarter backing, you can do this Slacker Total Raised and still fund the game.
Oh, cool.
There are 57 at this point, and you can still back it and get not everything you would have gotten in the original Kickstarter, but maybe you can still get something out of it.
Yeah.
And enjoy the game.
Yeah. If you like XCOM with like fantasy,
yeah,
it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be a cool ride.
Or Final Fantasy Tactics made by dudes who liked XCOM. Yeah. That sounds awesome to me.
And like, even if you don't want to back it, just like check out their streams.
We should end out this show. We should finish this.
We should end out the show.
Yes. Yep.
If only we had like Jeff Bridges in a cloud.
Shit. Oh, so. God.
Canada, our home and native land. True. Canada Day. Katomba. Patriot love and on ice. It's for Canada Day. Katomba.
Yeah, I hit stop. I hit stop with it's for Canada Day, and that's gonna be the end of the show.
Wait. Conter partido.